Welcome back, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast. It has been a while, Ben. I can't remember actually when our last episode was, but we decided to take a little summer break since we'd reached sort of 60 episodes and there wasn't much news going on. We both had things going on over the weekends. I've been traveling all over Europe to various friends' weddings, which, you know, don't get me started on having to fly away to a wedding. But the main thing is we're back. We've got a whole load of news to catch up on, especially stuff in the last sort of week where Twitch has been making a lot of changes. But Ben, first of all, how are you doing over in the States? It's obviously warmer out there because you're in a t-shirt. It has actually been quite warm here in the UK, but yeah, how are you doing?
Good. Yeah. I mean, it's been getting pretty warm, especially because this is my stream room and there's a lot of PCs and things in here, which make it more warm. But I'm a good man. I'm excited to be back. It has been, I think, almost a month or so since our last show. So we have quite a bit to talk about. And like you said, Twitch kind of waited till our comeback here to give us a bunch of good news to talk about. So yeah, you know, we've got some connections over there.
I sent them an email, you know, and said, listen, we're coming back this week, guys. Could you just start? Could you break a few records?
Yeah.
Could you just let me know, you know, what you're working on for the next few months? And they've done us a solid. Let's jump straight in with that record breaking, which is a really recent stream, Ben. And, you know, we're going to get complaints about the pronunciation of different names. Because this isn't an English-speaking streamer that's broken records. It is, let me bring up the screen share as well, here. We have a new record from Ibai, I believe is how you pronounce it, where effectively he put on a big boxing event, which we've seen be popular on YouTube, but now it's been done over on Twitch, and the record, the new peak viewership on Twitch for a single stream is 3.3 million concurrent viewers, which is, I mean, we throw around crazy and nuts the whole time, but that is actually insane. It beat the old record by almost a full million concurrent viewers. So huge record that's been broken. I hope I've pronounced it right. How's your Spanish, Ben? Is it Ibai?
Ibai. Yeah, I mean, I know as much about it as you do. So that's my best guess. But this is wild. And I think, if I remember correctly, Pete, wasn't GrefG the previous record that we talked about on here at like 2.5 or so?
Mm-hmm.
When he got his Fortnite skin, I think, is when that happened.
And that's right.
This was 3.3, which is crazy. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but it shows you how big the Spanish-speaking community is on Twitch, too, and how much that's growing. Because, I mean, what's the closest English-speaking mainstream, right? Like Ninja, maybe, with some of his stuff he did back in the day. Maybe something XQC did, but I mean, it's nowhere near this kind of viewership, honestly. So it just goes to show you the power of that on Twitch right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think it was Ninja's stream with Drake is now the third most viewed stream. We kind of seen, I was surprised that boxing hadn't been done on Twitch yet, considering how popular it's been on YouTube. You know, we've had like years of KSI versus Logan Paul and Jake Paul fighting other people, and they're always super popular events, and they always end up doing it off platform. They look at the pay-per-view model and try and, you know, sign with DAZN or somebody like that so they can earn more money. So to me, I was a bit surprised that it'd taken so long for a proper boxing event to have happened. I think even some creators were calling each other out at the end of the fight. I think I saw XQC get called out, so maybe we'll see it be, you know, a long stay. But yeah, congratulations to Ibai. I can't see when that record's going to be broken. It's going to have to be another like major event stream. Who knows? Maybe Minecraft or Fortnite will
yeah,
reclaim their record. But for now, I don't see that being beaten anytime soon.
Well, to your point, I think it was one of the biggest Spanish-speaking streamers, I want to say Rubius, who was calling out XQC for a boxing match. But that'll be interesting because that's kind of bringing both communities together, right? The Spanish and the English communities. So that might be what actually breaks this record if they end up doing that. So we'll see. But I know this was not just a record for, you know, the single most viewed stream, but also Twitch as a whole, I think, right, Pete, in terms of how much viewership was actually just on the site at one time.
Yeah, the number that I saw a few of the sort of Twitch tracking websites report on was 6.7 million active users on Twitch at one time, which, if my math is correct, half of 6.7 is roughly 3.3, right? That means half of the people on the platform were watching Ibai's stream and the other half were spread across all the other streams. I'm sure many of the big streamers were streaming at that point. So that was what really blew me away. Not only has Ibai set the new record, but also Twitch in terms of number of people on platform. And that is a crazy number. I saw somebody comparing, I haven't actually got the tweet pulled up, but somebody comparing the likes of Netflix and ESPN and what they get in terms of active users watching at the same time, and Twitch sort of, I don't think Netflix was in there, but it was blowing them out of the water anyway. We have got a whole host of platform updates, which you'd expect since we haven't done a podcast for a few weeks now. Let's go what we consider least important to most important, which maybe is a bit unfair if some people are watching in their Facebook gaming streamers. But let's start off with the Facebook gaming update. And this is one that we sort of covered. We covered that it was in the works. It's now actually officially launched, which is the Clips to Reels tool. So effectively being able to take your Facebook gaming clips and then convert them into reels. So I presume, you know, doing some rearranging to make it into a vertical video format. Obviously, reels is what they're called on Instagram, but Facebook owns Instagram, and I think Facebook has reels as well. They're under the same name. So this is, we've kind of seen quite a few websites spring up that do this for Twitch clips to TikTok and things like that. So I wonder if Twitch is ever going to work on something similar. YouTube have said that they're going to do it, haven't they? They've said that they want to keep people on platform and be able to turn clips into shorts, which is their name for reels or TikToks or just vertical videos in general. But yeah, it's good to see that this is launched. I'd be keen to see in chat if anybody, you know, does stream to Facebook gaming, has used this tool yet. We should probably have a dummy account where we can create things like this to actually demonstrate to the audience, but it's too late for that. So we'll just have to speculate. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, we talked about this coming for a little while because they had promised it for a couple months in their updates, but it's finally here. Unfortunately, we don't have a great graphic to show for this. I checked even their blog. There's no actual pictures of what this looks like or how it exactly works. But it sounds great if it's all built into the software, honestly. You can just instantly kind of make a clip, turn your clip into a reel. I don't know if it's just for Facebook Reels or Instagram too. Hopefully it's both, because that would make you be able to hit a lot more platforms at the same time. But I mean, that's a nice feature to have. I'm still not going to use Facebook gaming right now, much like we were just talking about, Pete. But if you're on that platform, I think it's a great way to do that. And if you are Twitch or YouTube, like, that's a great thing that you could bring to those platforms too, honestly. That would just make it a lot easier to get discovered if you're on those areas too.
Especially if they bring in some way of linking back to you if you're live, similar to what we've seen on YouTube, where you now have like the red ring if you're browsing somebody's videos and then they are currently live. Then you'll, like, right now if you go to the Gaming Careers channel or watch one of my videos, you should see around my avatar a red circle to show that I'm currently live on YouTube. It'd be cool if Facebook are doing the same thing, where one of the reels that you've converted maybe shows that you're live. There's probably an update down the line, but interesting to share nonetheless. Another update from a non-dominant platform, or not really a streaming platform at all, is Twitter introducing something called Notes. They've released a GIF here, which I'll let loop a couple of times for the people watching the stream or watching the VOD after the fact. Effectively, this is like their version of Twitlonger, whatever it was called. They saw clearly that people were going over the 160 characters or whatever it is that you get. Is it 240? I can't even remember what it is now on Twitter. And having to use these external websites, and they've now built a tool to do that. So you can write nice long posts, you can insert images and other tweets into that post, and then when you're done, you can click publish and actually write that into a tweet, and it's all nicely laid out for people that want to delve in and read your full post rather than just the first few lines. I'm surprised this has taken so long, considering Twitter doesn't really have to innovate that much, and they can just see what people are doing on their platform and build that feature directly into their platform themselves. Is this going to be useful for creators, streamers in any way, Ben? You think it's going to be used by maybe people, or is it just in these manifestos that we see when people, you know, get kicked off esports teams?
If you're getting canceled, then it's a great tool to have built right into Twitter to save yourself. No, I mean, to your point, like, it's good to see platforms are building things that basically third parties have sort of made as a solution for something that was missing, whether it is this one or what we just talked about with Facebook making the clip tool. And it kind of shows you how, if you are one of those third party companies, like, what happens to Twitlonger now? Is anybody going to keep using that? Maybe people will keep using that because they don't even know Notes is a thing yet on Twitter. But it's interesting how software like that, that's kind of solving a need, can easily kind of be pushed out if the native platform just makes something to do that thing. So I hope that we'll see more of that to an extent on stuff like Twitch, like you said, with making their own type of TikTok or Streamladder that. Right now, people have to make that externally to kind of do those things. But honestly, if the platforms themselves can have them built in, then I think it's a better thing for the platform at the end of the day.
Yeah, seeing here, I'm just showing on screen, actually below their announcement tweet, they've actually included a few of the writers that have been helping test the feature. And right now, below their, what are they calling them? Notes. Below their note is like a little blue box that says, this is a published note, a new way to write beyond 280 characters on Twitter. So they're clearly trying to promote it at the same time as launching the feature. So we'll see. We'll see over the next few weeks if this gets used by anyone in our circles anyway. But I just wanted to include it because it's another tool at streamers' disposal, and a lot of streamers and content creators use Twitter as their main way of speaking out about what's going on. So from Twitter, what's the next step up? Discord, I would say. We're eventually going to get to the two big platforms. We've got loads to cover on those. But Twitter has launched Discord has launched a new feature, which is auto mod. Previously, most people that had servers, particularly big servers, were using bots to be able to moderate their community. And they may still have to, because this is the first iteration of Discord's launched version called auto mod, which effectively actually steps in before somebody sends a message. So because it's built by Discord and the people writing in your server are going to be using Discord as well, it can actually prevent messages before they're taken, rather than these bots like Me6, where they have to wait till the message is actually read and then they can delete it and auto moderate that way. Interesting, really. I mean, it's good to see Discord stepping up, because certainly a lot of people that start new servers won't know about adding moderation bots and things like that. But I haven't actually enabled it for our server yet. Ben, have you done it over on the Benjamin Green branded Discord server?
Not yet. I've seen, it's funny because Discord sends out these notification messages on every server when they launch stuff like this. So I saw this got pushed out, but I've not used it on my server or the servers that I work with. It seems like, I mean, to your point, it kind of has similar functions to bots. Maybe it's a little better, like you said, because it can catch something before it even goes out, since it's kind of built into Discord. But there hasn't been like an immediate need for me to set this up right away. It seems like something that I'll eventually get to. In terms of functionality, it seems pretty basic, just being able to block certain words or timeout users, things like that. I think if you're in a bigger server where this is really important and it's you're seeing issues with it beyond what you already have, then you should definitely look into it. And it's nice that we have that kind of similar to Twitch now. We've automod on both of those just built in, although the Twitch automod can be a little overzealous sometimes from my testing so far.
What is interesting, though, is that Discord are going down this route, and I imagine that they always were going to have to go down this route. But like you said, we've seen on Twitch where they've had to implement stricter and stricter security settings and allowing streamers actually to be able to customize how viewers can interact on their channel. You know, do they have to have a mobile phone verified? Do they have to have had followed your account for a certain amount of time? Discord has also had those kind of features, but now actual, you know, reading and making sure that messages are safe. Hopefully this is going to put an end to a lot of the spam. I don't know if you see it in your server, Ben, but the moderators in Gaming Careers Discord server are constantly having to delete Discord giveaways for Nitro, which are just fake. They're just trying to get people's Discord logins, basically. And it's a daily problem, honestly. So hopefully this kind of feature is going to help prevent that. It doesn't really seem it from the announcement tweet. It seems to be more directed at, you know, messages of abuse, but maybe that comes included. Anything else to say on this, Ben, or do you want to move on to, which one are we going to do, YouTube or Twitch updates first?
I think we'll jump to YouTube. One thing I'll say quickly on this before we jump is I think this is nice for people who are new to Discord, who don't maybe know about bots and how to set that stuff up and can just go right into the server settings and have it set up right away. So that's a nice win if they want to help grow the user base. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But the Discord Nitro stuff, to your point, is still definitely an issue. I see that more in DMs more than in my server these days, but this at least helps when it's in the server.
There's been a good comment actually from Witchy Robin. I wonder if it blocks picks before they get sent. That would be great. That's a good point. I imagine probably not in this version, unless they've built some clever image detection, or maybe they'll just start to be much stricter as to what images can be sent in which channels and things like that. But definitely a good point. What do you think, Ben? Do you think they're already doing images, or that's way too advanced? That seems like some AI stuff.
Yeah, from what I saw, it seems like they're mostly tracking words right now, and you can sort of blacklist words and then choose what happens after those words get triggered, whether it's sending, you know, blocking the message or sending alert to moderators, timing out users, things like that. There might be more image stuff, but to your point, that probably gets into AI recognition, and I think they're probably starting pretty simple to start with. Hopefully we get there, though, because I know images is also a big problem for some servers.
I've just seen what you've linked into the document. You want to cover that, a tweet from Loco as well about the auto mod tool in Discord?
Yeah, it's just a little visual of the actual tool in the back end and sort of the things you can set up. So basically, like I said, you can choose your words that you want to blacklist or make a list of them, sort of, and then choose how the tool responds to that, whether it is blocking a message, sending alert to a channel, which I suppose would be used for moderators or for people who want to just keep an eye on a user or something, or just time out a user right away with all those, and all three. If you want to do all three of those, you can at the same time. And then also certain channels can be included or removed if you want to do that. So it seems pretty basic, like I said, pretty user-friendly to set up just getting something right out of the box. There might be more to this, I'm not sure, but this is just the example that I saw kind of moving around.
I love the example that they've included there. If you wanted to separate three words, dog, cat, and tiger. Yeah, I mean, we run a pretty strict ship at the Gaming Careers Discord server, but I think we'd allow you to talk about animals. All right, let's move on to YouTube. You want to do YouTube first, right? I mean, we've had a couple of updates on the Creator Insider channel. Again, we recommend every single time that we talk about this, go and subscribe to this channel. It is where you're hearing from the people working at YouTube about what they are working on. It's not always easy for us to include screenshots in this podcast format because they're always done in video format and they seem to be filmed on webcams. But we have pulled out a few key features, Ben. Let's start by talking about the separate analytics. So effectively, this is a way that people have been requesting this for a while, basically ever since YouTube built live streams, shorts. Are they called shorts? Yeah, live streams, shorts, community posts. Is a way to actually be able to separate them when you go to the analytics, because the analytics for a video that I upload, which is 10 minutes long versus a live stream, which is an hour long, or for some people, you know, 6 hours long, they're going to be vastly different. Watch time isn't going to be the same. Click-through rate isn't going to be the same. And the analytics were all a bit jumbled in the back end. And the same thing with shorts when they're 15 seconds long. You know, 15 seconds is a very good watch time on a 15-second short, whereas it's not a very good watch time on a 4-hour live stream or a 10-minute video. So I don't think we have a screenshot of this, although I could probably pull up the video, but effectively you're just going to be able to separate between the analytics for all those different formats. You want to take the next one, Ben?
Sure. Yeah. I just want to say I'm excited about that one because I've had in my shorts testing, shorts always have a lifespan of like a day or two. So they'll spike your views really quick and then drop it back down. That kind of makes the whole graph unreadable. So it's nice to have hopefully that clean up a little bit when this rolls out. There was also an update to membership pricing for those of you who really get a very valuable membership on your channels. You can now set a max price of $500 for your membership on YouTube. So if you think you have the most exclusive yacht club of memberships on your channel, then you can make really expensive memberships, or maybe some like super high MVP support tier. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, the screenshot that Zach has got here, there's a couple of interesting things. First of all, it's not just like enter your own price. They've still got basically about 25 different levels of membership that they recommend. And next to certain ones, they've written popular as if to encourage you to use them, which is the $4.99, $9.99, $24.99, and $99.99. So just using that psychology trick of just being below the next decimal point, basically. I mean, how many people are setting memberships at $499.99? I don't know, but I think what was the previous limit? $100, right? Even that seems quite steep. But clearly, it was a feature that enough people, you know, wanted to get implemented. So they've now implemented it. But I don't think we're going to see Tim the Tap Man having a $499.99 just yet.
I wouldn't be surprised if people set it up just as like a meme tier, and somebody, you know, someone out there is going to use it, right? It'll get used. I think it's nice that you have more options, though, at least on YouTube. So you can make that $1 membership if you want to. That's a great win, or less than $5, basically. Or go higher than $25 if you want to, which if you're on Twitch, you're locked into those kind of three levels of subbing. So now there's more customization, which is nice. Again, I don't know that once you get way up there to $200, $300, $500, that it makes as much sense. A, because like for me as a streamer, it feels weird to set my memberships at 500 and feel like I'm giving enough value for people at a $500 sub. But also, because the platforms take a cut of that, you get so much more money back by doing a donation versus a membership at that point. So I don't know. It's a tough justify for me, but if you just want to have a fun tier, or you have some credible reason, maybe you have really high value content or something and it's very exclusive membership, then I'd love to see some examples of that, honestly.
Yeah, that's a good point. Who is creating that much value? I mean, Benton, you clearly need to create more value. If you don't have content that is worth,
I'm like 200. You know, we're getting there. We're working up to five.
That tier is available to you as well now. The $199.99. It's obviously something that they've requested. I think it's really nice on YouTube how you can go even lower than the lowest on Twitch as well. Although I wouldn't want to price yourself into that. I remember when I did Patreon, like right when I went full time, I made like a $1 tier, and that was the advice back then. But actually, since then, the cut that Patreon takes just makes it basically not worthwhile doing a $1 tier. And it's probably the same with YouTube, even with that 70-30 split. But lots of choices for YouTube streamers. Also, an update that I have seen a lot that I want to cover is the ability now on YouTube videos, not on live streams, so you won't be able to see it on this, but for you to be able to see, the screenshot isn't great. Let me zoom out once. If you hover your mouse across the timeline, and actually I've seen it on mobile as well, you can see basically like a retention graph on a public video. So it doesn't have to be on your channel, obviously. You can see a retention graph to see where the most popular parts of that video are, which is both a good thing and a bad thing. I'm trying to think open-minded here. The good part of it is obviously if you're watching a video, learning how to do something, and it's like a 6-minute intro, you can see exactly where you need to skip to, because loads of people will have done the same. And it helps cut out all of that fluff. But from the creator side of things, you want people to be watching, you know, all of your content. And if people are just always going to skip to the most replayed part, then, you know, is watch time going to matter at all? Are all these long YouTube videos just going to turn into shorts anyway, because people are only going to watch 10 seconds? I mean, I'd like to think my videos are complex enough that people are needing to watch a few minutes to understand actually how something works. But what do you think about this, Ben? Have you had this on your end as well? I wonder if it's a feature that's rolled out to partners, or people logged into a partnered account or not.
No, I've seen it on mine for sure. I'm not a partner on my YouTube channel yet. but it's interesting. I think it's a cool data point to have if you're just interested to see, especially as a creator, to see people are watching the most and maybe kind of look at what they're kind of getting value from there. From a viewer's end, I think it's kind of interesting. Maybe if you just want to poke around a video really quickly and see the interesting parts. Practically, I'm curious from chat for what you guys think. For those of you who have this already, I have this feature, but I haven't really paid attention to it yet when browsing around videos or really used it much. But maybe I'm the minority. If you guys are here and you have this, I'd love to hear if you are looking around and actively using this new feature, if you don't really pay any attention to it, or kind of where you land there. Because I don't use it much, but that could change. Or maybe I'm kind of, you know, the one-off in that situation.
Yeah, I have used it. I found myself using it. So it'd be good to see if other people are using it as well. Some comments here. Prodigy says, won't the retention graph most replayed lower the overall retention, meaning less watch time? Maybe it should be an optional thing. Yeah, well, that's kind of what I mean. I wonder if we're going to see less watch time on videos. You know, I guess it's kind of useful for people that are doing ad spots. You know, you know which bits to skip, because you can just hover over the timeline. Not good for the brands, but from the viewer's point of view. But yeah, it's useful. Especially, it's also useful for things where the content is hidden within a longer video. Like I said, particularly older videos, if you want to learn how to change the filter on your washing machine or something like that, and somebody's uploaded a 20-minute video, which is 10 minutes of them promoting their brand, you can just skip to the good part. But it kind of goes hand in hand with the update when they removed dislikes. I think like they needed to find a way where people could find good content and not have to sit through a lot of fluff. So yeah, I like that change. But we've also had a couple more changes YouTube wise. We had another video from the insiders, which talked about corrections. I don't think I have a screenshot for this, so I'll just talk you through what I noted down here. A new feature called corrections, which allows creators to add a card that shows in the top right corner, similar to all the other cards that we use for links and things like that, but it's specifically for adding corrections or clarifications. So when you open up the card and click on the correction, it will then pop open the description where the creator could have written a longer response. So this is super useful if you make a video and then something changes, or you realize you made a mistake, but the only other option was to re-upload the video with a fixed version. And obviously, if you had a big audience, then that could kill the video's chance of being picked up in the algorithm, because loads of people will have seen it already and won't want to watch it again. So this is a way to basically add like a quick clarification if you made a mistake or misspoke. which happens from time to time. You know, you don't always catch it in the edit. So that's a nice little update. Again, sorry, I don't have a screenshot for that. And the other update that was announced in that video was that mentions, now all creators can now mention channels in video streams, shorts, and posts. Whereas I think before it was like 10,000 subscribers, then maybe 1,000 subscribers, then 500 subscribers. But now any creator can mention a different channel in videos, streams, shorts, and posts. And if you want an example of that, you can just pop open the description of this live stream. And Ben, you know, I've tagged Ben in the video. And Ben, I don't know if you see a notification anywhere on your dashboard when that happens, or you probably have to go hunting for it somewhere, because it would be nice to know where other channels have mentioned you. But yeah, it's just like a handy little link to somebody else's channel. And I think they can repost things to their community and things like that. So a nice little update. Is that it? Or is there one more that you found and took a screenshot of, I think? The desktop comments.
Just the corrections that you were talking about. So I found an example. Again, we don't get the best examples in these videos from Insider because they're always really low resolution. But this shows, I think, the mobile version of what this looks like. So it gives you, like you said, a card in the top right of the video player with the little corrections eye. And then you can actually see some details of what the corrections were from the creator. So I think it's a pretty cool feature, especially if you have maybe some older videos that you don't want to go through and edit the video and cut out stuff, and it's not worth doing that. But there's like a small edit if there was a newer product that came out or something, or something changed since you made the initial video, then it's cool to add that. I don't see this as being like super important, but maybe it'll become more of a thing, especially in, you know, more technical videos where you want to update something that's technical for a newer release or some update that's come out since then.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. All good changes, I think. All the changes we've discussed so far are good. And is it going to be one of those rare podcasts where we actually think the same thing about Twitch's updates? Let's dive into it, because there's been quite a few since we last podded. And some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them have some caveats, but sound kind of good. And Ben's the one that knows all the caveats. So let's start with badges. New badges for Twitch streamers to let chatters know if another chatter is watching without audio or video. I've actually seen these a few times, and I've been surprised at how many people are watching without video. I'm like, how are they getting that much value from this, you know, gaming stream when they're watching without video, but still managing to understand what's going on? That's the only one that I've seen before. What else have you seen, Ben? What are these other ones?
Yeah, so I think the main two are, to your point, there's one watching without the video and then watching without audio. They're two just little badges that show in front of your name on Twitch. They're supposed to be used to indicate how you're watching the stream. I think I've seen some people just using them for fun and not really realizing what they mean necessarily. But it is kind of interesting. And I have seen a lot of these in my streams of people who are just listening maybe and not really watching, kind of like this podcast. Maybe I'd guess we have some people. But then also just watching without listening, maybe kind of pulled up, but you can't be listening actively. I've seen some of those. So it's kind of a cool way to show some more options on Twitch. I think they did it mostly for accessibility, for letting people know. I think as a streamer, it's actually pretty nice to know if I see somebody who has a badge and I know they're not using audio, then I can't say hi to them. just my voice, right? I can like type in the chat or something, or tell somebody else in the chat to say hi. And same thing with watching out video, then you can kind of realize they can't see what you're doing, but you can maybe just say something if they can't see what's happening. So it's kind of nice, I'll say, even though I think maybe not everyone knows it's on there yet, it's a nice to have on Twitch.
I was hoping that all of these badges had been added and that you were going to help describe what the little dinosaur one meant, or...
Oh, these are all... I think the only two are new ones.
Yeah, I think you're right. The other ones look like they're from Overwatch League and stuff like that. But I was really hoping for a description of this little dinosaur guy here and what that meant, watching in the old times or something. I don't know. What else have we had Twitch-wise? Oh, yeah, the survey for whether... I don't know if you can even see this. The screen is so bright. Why don't they have a dark mode? They actually do on Reddit, but I'm logged in. Twitch asking the people that are logged into their website, and somebody grabbed a screenshot to actually share on the Twitch subreddit. Do you believe any of the following is a good fit for Twitch? And there are two options, NFTs and cryptocurrency. And I think people have kind of got NFT fatigue. Like, they've seen so many bad NFT projects or big companies talking about NFTs, and seems to be a very easy thing to hate on. And this certainly did very well on the Twitch subreddit with people having some pretty strong opinions on NFTs and why it wouldn't work on Twitch. But at least they're doing a survey rather than building a feature straight out and dropping it on us. So But I don't actually know. I think you have to register to be part of this research power group, right? This is how like they survey certain users on Twitch, or it just gets sent in an email, I guess.
Yeah, I think there's something in the dashboard you can do for this. So I'm not trying to get into it, but the screenshot was interesting. This was a month ago now. We haven't done the podcast in a little bit. And I think even since this got posted, there's been more backlash on this kind of stuff, especially with how much crypto has fallen in the past month. So I would be surprised if they push something on this. Although the reason we kind of mention it is because YouTube has talked about NFTs in the past too. Like Susan specifically was talking about the value of NFTs. Again, that was a couple of months ago now. And I think the landscape has changed a good bit even in that time. So I'd still be surprised if we see a push anytime soon for this. Maybe there's another boom later this year or something, Pete. But at least they're surveying people and we'll kind of see if there's an update here in the future.
I think I remember Ludwig's interview with Susan. He like asked her about that whole NFT push and she had a pretty good answer. I'm kind of the same as the majority of people. Like, I don't want to see them prioritizing NFTs when there's still so many things that they could fix on their website, discoverability, for example. You have posted the next thing, but actually when I open up the link, it doesn't allow me to view your recap. So I've gone to my recap instead. But could you describe what recap is for all of those that haven't yet heard of Twitch recap? And I'll bring up my screen share of incredible stats since I haven't streamed on Twitch for about a year and a half.
Oh, I think you have to be a subscriber to see it. I think that's how this works. But yeah, So for basically, this is sort of like Twitch's own Spotify Wrapped, but on a tinier scale, much tinier scale. And I think the idea is to send out like a monthly recap to your subscribers of sort of the stats of your streamer and also how you interacted with that channel over the past month, which is a kind of cool concept. It's really simple, really minimal, as you'll see from Pete's screenshot here. It just kind of walks you through some of the stats, like how much the streamer was streaming during that month.
0 seconds.
Yeah, really great numbers there, Pete. You got to pump those up a bit. Chat sent in the channel, like mine's 115 or 1,115 out of curiosity. Streams total. I'm sure you got another goose egg there, Pete. But these are all like really basic stats. I mean, I guess they're kind of interesting if you just want to see what the channel was doing. The month subscribe thing is kind of cool for some long time subscribers. Mine's at 25 now, which is crazy that I've had 2 years now on here. So I think this is actually a bit more valuable. And then it shows you some of the top clips too. And I think maybe that's it.
Yeah.
And it gives you a little like way to share it, kind of like they do. I think there's like a Twitch Wrapped thing or something they did last year too, Pete. I can't remember what it was, but
yeah,
it's the idea is to share it on social, I think. And they give
this
you that option.
This makes a whole lot more sense now that you've described that subscribers can view it. Because I was looking through this and thinking, you know, why is this useful for me to see every single month? Obviously, if I streamed on Twitch, it would be a bit more useful. But yeah, you're basically plugging that I should have subscribed to your Twitch channel and then I would have been able to get the actual stats. But then you would have seen that, you know, I haven't chatted at all in you. So it's just I've just got to become a full-time viewer, basically, of your channel so that we can demonstrate this feature properly.
Got to pump those numbers up, yeah. It's interesting. I haven't seen anyone share this at all since it got announced. But I mean, I imagine for some of the bigger streamers, especially if you've been watching for a long time, maybe that sub streak is up to a couple of years. It's kind of cool to have that stat sent to you every once in a while. Although you have to go to the dashboard on the streamer's page to see it. I don't think it actually gets emailed to you as far as I know.
Yeah, I think like you said, it's basically a way for people to be able to share that they've watched a certain stream the whole time, and it helps promote Twitch as a website. And they do that Twitch end of year thing, the same that Spotify does, where it's like looking at how many chat messages you sent, or as the streamer, how many messages were sent in your chat. So I guess this is just a smaller version where you can directly interact with the streamer that you're subscribed to. But pretty cool. Thanks for finding that, Ben, and for actually explaining to me how the feature works, because I clearly had no idea. We've got a couple more posts from the Reddit, so excuse the bright white screen. But there's been a couple of updates that we haven't really seen anywhere else. The first one being banner ads. Now, I've seen the horizontal banner ads, or at least teasers of that, where it sort of pushes the video out of the way. But somebody got a screenshot here of a... Let's not do that, because that opens way too big. But of a banner ad on the side, actually an Amazon banner ad. So maybe they're struggling to sell banner ads as it is, and they just have to go to, you know, the owning company that is Amazon, but actually advertising the game. It'd be really interesting if this was actually the game being played and if it was as integrated as that. But yeah, sort of pushes the video to one side, which obviously makes it a tiny bit smaller, and then has the banner ad on the side where you can actually shop now and actually buy the game that is being mentioned. You didn't see this. I guess this isn't your screenshot, but you actually found it on the subreddit. We've talked about ads a hell of a lot, and there's more to talk about. But I actually quite like these ones where it doesn't overlay the video, doesn't stop the stream, doesn't stop the audio. It seems like a pretty non-intrusive way for streamers to make a little bit of extra money. It'd be really cool if this is going through the Amazon affiliate scheme, so the streamer makes an extra cut if somebody buys the product, but I doubt it's that well integrated, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, again, anything that doesn't stop the actual stream is a win in my book versus the mid-rolls that just totally break up the flow of the stream, especially when they're just automated and you can't really control it. I think there were a couple of these, and I think they're on mobile, if I'm looking at it right. It's a little hard to tell, but yeah, it's interesting to see them trying out different ad formats versus just the banner at the bottom in addition to mobile now. So I think probably because the banner ones are only on desktop, as far as I know, having these on mobile is still kind of nice. Although in one of the examples, the video is very, very small. So still not a great experience, but better than being locked out of the stream completely for, you know, 3 to 5 to 8 minutes, depending on how many ads are running. So improvements slowly.
Yeah, there's a second screenshot. I don't know if this is exactly the same feature. This looks like a video ad rather than a banner ad. And this is definitely on mobile, where the stream has gone to probably 30% of its original size, and then the ad plays next to it. And I presume that the stream is muted and the ad plays with audio. That's how I think it was originally sold as an idea. Again, it's a much better experience for viewing ads. You don't necessarily miss the content. You might miss the audio, but you're not actually wondering what's going on. And ads are part of Twitch. They have to be. They have to be the way that streamers and Twitch as a platform makes money as it becomes more and more popular. So yeah, two good screenshots from people over on the subreddit. I don't mind either, although I do hate a lot of the ad experience on Twitch, especially like getting an ad as soon as you load in a new stream. I think that's a really bad experience. But again, we're going to be talking about a little change to that coming up later. What have we got next in the Twitch updates? It looks like we are going to go straight into the browsing layout experiment. And again, thanks to Zach Bussey, who reports on a lot of the Twitch and creator news, for actually capturing this, because we've both looked on our dashboards, Ben, and we're not having the same experience, are we? So I don't know if this is only rolling out in certain areas or to certain users, or maybe it was a really quick, short experiment and they found a bug and they've now closed it. But I will do my best to describe this new channel browsing or category browsing experience. So when you go into a directory, so let's say Just Chatting or League of Legends or Valorant, rather than just seeing a whole wall of thumbnails where you have to click into each stream and probably watch an ad as soon as it loads before you actually get to know what kind of streamer is or what they're doing, this new version has a single player at the top, which auto plays, muted, I might add, and then the directory below that of thumbnails. And if you click on any of the videos in the thumbnails below in the directory, then it auto plays in that same top player. So it doesn't actually load into their channel. It just swaps what's playing, and you don't get any ads in this experience, but it only lasts for 60 seconds. So after 60 seconds of watching somebody's stream, a little message pops up saying, do you want to go and watch this stream for the full experience, you know, when you're going to get chat and things like that. But it's certainly, I would say, on first thought of it, it's an improvement because you can quickly flick between channels, kind of like you're flicking between channels on a TV, see what they're about before jumping into the full experience and probably having to watch an ad when you jump into the full experience. But yeah, I haven't seen this. I'd be keen to see as well if other people in the chat have this, if they go to Twitch right now, because neither Ben or I do. And we usually have, you know, between a partnered account, an affiliate account, one in the States and one in the UK, we usually get to see these kind of features, but neither of us have it. But whilst we're waiting to see if anyone in chat has it, Ben, what do you think from the first description or watching Zach's short video that he did on it?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. Just to give a kind of a different experience on Twitch, they even moved the sidebar over to the right, which to me was one of the things that I noticed as sort of weird on Twitch. But it's a cool way to kind of browse through without actually committing to a stream necessarily. If you just want to flick through a little bit and see what looks interesting and then jump completely in. Like you said, I have not been able to test it at all. I tried this across a couple of my own accounts too, and I could not get access to it. It looked like, so this, Zach posted this almost a week ago, and I saw a lot of backlash to this on the Twitch subreddit from people who wanted to go back to the normal view. Which there is a way to do, by the way. If you have this view, you can just add /list in the URL and you go back to your standard Twitch view. But I kind of wonder if maybe there was a lot of backlash from people and they pulled it back because people didn't like it. Maybe people here still have it. If you're in the stream or listening, if you have this new view, I'd love to hear from you and what you think of this layout since you've been able to test it a little bit. To me, like any change to the browse experience at this point is good for Twitch for the most part. And I'm curious to see how this tests. You know, you don't see as many channels all at once here, but again, there's a way to get to them if you want to do that and kind of creates a more browsable experience in my view. So I actually like this quite a bit.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the complaints being around autoplay, and you know, a lot of people don't have the homepage of Twitch bookmarked because they hate autoplay. But I feel like autoplay, when it's muted, is generally fine. And I think the default sorting for this will be viewers high to lower or recommended for you. So you'd hope that you're not going to see anything that, you know, you really don't want to see. I like it as well. I think it's a good change and makes finding new streamers easier, which basically is how you boil down what we need for discoverability improvements, is finding new streamers easier. I mean, in a way, it's still going to be probably playing the most viewed streamer in that category. But as Twitch's algorithms improve for recommended for you, hopefully that filter changes it and you actually do find new streamers this way. But at least you're not getting the experience of having to click on somebody's stream. It opens up, plays two ads, and then you see, no, this person isn't for me. You go back to the directory, you open up the second streamer, you watch two ads. Like, that is a horrendous viewing experience. You're never going to find new streamers that you want to watch if that's the case. So yeah, for me, I think it's an improvement. I will make one comment, actually, Ben. You mentioned that the follow channels move over to the right-hand side. I think that's just either an extension or something that Zach has done, because I've seen him talk about that before. So I imagine it will still be over on the left-hand side. But yeah, keen to see what people are thinking in chat. We've got a few people saying that they like the look of it. A lot of people saying that they don't have the layout, whether they're based in the UK or US. But no ads when hopping is great, was one of the comments that I'll highlight here. And I just wish they had... Here's another one. Let me just clear the current overlay. I wish they would just have you auto-join if you are lingering for so long. That's a good bit of feedback. That's something Twitch probably... You know, you probably have the ability to add some feedback whilst you go through this experience. If you're watching a stream for 60 seconds and then you leave it for 5, maybe it could auto join you. You'll probably have a lot of people complain about that as well. But yeah, right now you sort of see a little pop-up message saying, you know, do you want the full experience? Kind of similar to how you have it on the Twitch homepage. I don't know if it's massively going to affect discoverability in its current state, but it's certainly a step in the right direction, because the current way, as I explained, I didn't think it was great. What have we got? What else have we got, Ben? I'm sort of jumping around here on two different screens, and we haven't done this for a bit, so I'm still, you know, trying to get into the flow of things. So you pull up the next one, which I think will be the charity integration, if I'm right.
Yeah. So this was another bit of news that came out sort of as a leak, which people are guessing is going to get announced at TwitchCon Amsterdam, most likely. But basically, in the Twitch activity feed, people found out that there is a new filter category called charity donations. So normally you could sort by, if you just want to see all your donation or your bits or your follows or your subs, that kind of stuff. Now you can choose charity donations. I grabbed this from my own OBS actually, so you'll probably have it in yours too if you check that kind of stuff. But this seems to indicate that Twitch is working on a new type of interaction that's a direct donation built into Twitch versus using an external thing, like Tiltify, something like that. Which is pretty interesting. There were also some screenshots that came out, I think, that Zach was reporting on of what this looks like in practice, including some rumors that it's going to be a complete donation to the charity directly, and Twitch is taking none of that, which would be huge if that's the case. There's nothing official released for this yet, so I didn't want to grab too much of that because it could definitely change. But again, the thought is that this is probably going to get announced at TwitchCon EU, so we'll kind of see if that happens. Pete, you have thoughts on seeing this?
Yeah, I mean, I've done charity events through Twitch before. I did the point of view running the marathon. So back then, and actually currently, how you have to do it, like you said, is through something like Tiltify or Just Giving. I think there's a few different websites. I think Streamlabs have even launched a way of raising money for charity. Firstly, Twitch basically don't have a choice. They cannot take a cut of any kind of charity donation. So I'm glad to see that the reports of it being 100% of the money going to charity is the case, because if it wasn't, then everyone would just use the other services anyway. What is nice is hopefully it builds a hell of a lot of trust, because I have seen streams in the past where people have, you know, taken donations through PayPal and then they've processed the money and then donated it. And you always have that level of trust with the streamer. Have they donated the full amount or not? This is all taken out of their hands and actually Twitch is handling it all and will process the payment to the charity. The screenshots that I saw sort of allowed you on the back end to search for different charities. So, you know, a lot of the big famous charities that people are always raising money for, but hopefully there's going to be a way to also add smaller charities or at least make it very easy for charities to add themselves into that back-end dashboard and still get paid, because we don't, you know, some people want a really specific charity to raise money for, and it would be nice if that was also supported on platform. As your screenshot here shows, Ben, the fact that you can choose to toggle whether you see this in your activity feed or not means that I imagine these messages are going to come up in chat just like any of these other events come up in chat when somebody subscribes to your channel or boosts your channel or buys bits and uses bits. I'd imagine charity donations are also going to show in chat, and I imagine that the big stream alert providers, Stream Elements, Streamlabs, are probably going to add this as well, so that you can have custom alerts when somebody does a charity donation actually through Twitch, because they kind of already support Tiltify and places like that. So yeah, I think this is really nice. I feel kind of bad for these websites that have been set up and done this for, you know, 5-10 years. I hope Twitch has communicated with them and worked with them or at least hired some of their staff or something, because it's always a bit annoying when you make a business off somebody else's service and then they end up just building the feature because you've done such a good job. So yeah, hopefully people do still end up using them, or they find a different way of being able to work. Because I've been to a lot of like Tiltify parties at TwitchCon and things like that. They've always been really good events. So hopefully they stick around. But yeah, I think this is good. Raising money for charity through streaming, I think that's one of the really unique angles, something that you can do on Twitch that is kind of difficult to do, you know, in a VOD format like on YouTube or something else. The live format really does work itself well with charities, and we've seen huge amounts of money donated to charity. So I can only imagine that with that becoming easier, we'll probably see even more of it.
Yeah, I think especially because it's built into the platform now too. So especially for new viewers, I've done a lot of charity events and people want to come by and support but don't really understand Twitch. And so to then ask them to kind of go to Tiltify and do this external or PayPal or something and do one more step to do that versus just having a donate button right there or something for contributing to a cause, I think that could help actual fundraising just do a lot more and that whole experience. So I think it'd be great. Again, hopefully it rolls out pretty well. I know some channels do things like, you know, I've been part of channels that the subscriber revenue they'll put towards charities and bits money towards charities. I don't know that Twitch will go that far with this direction. I would love to see that in the future. But at least it's a good start of having one avenue of complete, you know, Twitch taking no cut of that going right to charity. I think that's really cool.
Let's move on to, I guess, what the thumbnail and title, the majority of the title of this podcast was about, which is the move from Twitch to move away from the CPM based ad model to a revenue share. So we actually talked about this in a relatively recent podcast, which shows that it's been a few weeks. Maybe Twitch listened to all the backlash, but essentially how the ad program has worked on Twitch for the whole time is that depending on how many ads you serve through your stream, you got paid a really small amount, like $3.50, I think it was, per 1,000 views of an ad, not viewers on your stream, because not everybody gets served an ad. So the money from ads has always been really poor for Twitch streamers. And there was a big call when they were restructuring things to make that a revenue split. So whatever money Twitch makes from serving the ad, they split that evenly 50-50 or 60-40 or some ratio like that with the streamer that is actually displaying the ad to their viewers. And it seems to have resonated. Twitch are moving to a revenue share model, which is going to be 55% in favor of the streamer. So Twitch takes 45%, the streamer gets 55%, and it's going to be rolling out to both partners and affiliates, which is great. I think there are some prerequisites and maybe a couple of caveats that you've dived into, Ben. So do you want to jump straight into them? Because I think you've got a better understanding of this than I have.
Yeah, so a couple things. They announced this, I think, last week, maybe. And so it seems like it is live now for partners, or it's rolling out actively to partners, but it's a little bit different for each category. So for partners, it is part of the ads incentive program, which we touched on before, where they'll give you sort of like an offer each month for if you run X number of ads for X amount of time, you'll get this money. And there's been a lot of people talking on Twitter about how those rates have gotten a lot better. I think this is part of why they've gotten better, is because they're making this change. So that specifically, I think, is for partners only, is the ads incentive program that you can kind of opt into to get that higher rate. Versus for affiliates, this is not live yet. It goes live in August, so over a month from now. And it's going to be a different sort of system for affiliates. So for affiliates, you'll have to run, looking at some of their info from the blog post, if you run 3 minutes of ads an hour, you'll get this rate, and you'll also disable pre-rolls on your channel. The caveat is that they have to be automated. So you can't schedule them. You can't automatically run them a certain time. You have to have them automatically set to go every hour for 3 minutes straight of ads. And then you'll get those, you'll get the higher percentage, and then you'll also get no pre-rolls. So it's a weird trade-off, because obviously pre-rolls are not great for the experience, and it's great to disable that for new viewers especially. But at the same time, 3 minutes of ads that you can't control is really intrusive, especially if that's like the middle of a game or something, or you imagine this podcast, Pete, if we had 3 minutes just right here in the middle of the core of the discussion, it'd be pretty frustrating. So it's a little tough. Maybe you could kind of plan your stream around that spot if you know it's coming up and you keep track of it. But I imagine that's going to be tough for most streamers to get used to. So we'll see. I mean, the ad revenue bump is big, but I think the fact that you have to have it automated is a big disclaimer. So I'm curious what Pete and the chat, what you all think about this.
So just to clarify, you have to, that has to be automated. You can't just be running 3 minutes of ads per hour. You know, like when you finish a game that was 45 minutes long, you choose then to run your 3 minutes, and then that qualifies you for the next hour. You actually would have to click a button that says automate it and do it for me.
Yep. And the weird part about this too is that I believe they were sending out notifications for people saying, hey, this is live. Go set up your automated ads now. You can take advantage of it. But for affiliates, it's not live till August. So in kind of like a sneaky way, Twitch is trying to get you to run three minutes of ads an hour during all of July for no benefit. And then they'll turn it on in August. So that's why I said there's some weird things they're doing here. I think it will be good eventually if it gets here for people who want a little more ad revenue, but just kind of weird how they're doing this, I think.
Yeah, that surprises me. I would have thought that it makes more sense just to qualify anybody that has run 3 minutes of ads in the past hour rather than having to use this automated system. Because like you say, there's nothing worse than arriving at a stream and having to watch 2 minutes of ads before you even get into the action, or for automated ads to come on in the middle of a really hype moment when they could just be running them in the downtime of a queue system or a be right back scene or something like that. And yeah, sneaky. I don't know if that's maybe intentional or not, that they were encouraging people to do it right now when it doesn't actually matter for affiliates until August. But maybe they also just want viewers to get used to watching 3 minutes of ads at random spots. So yeah, that's some pretty big caveats that you found then, Ben. So it's not just about, you know, earning more money. There is some downsides to it, although some of those existed kind of before these increased ad rates, I guess. So more money, hopefully. Maybe Twitch ads actually will end up paying a decent percentage of streamers' income rather than just the pennies that it did previously.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair amount of money if you want to opt into it once it is live, especially if you're an affiliate. Again, if you're a partner, you can start doing this now with their program. But just if you're an affiliate, be careful. I personally am definitely not going to turn that on before August, because it's really no benefit to you if you're trying to minimize ads. Maybe you want pre-rolls off. I don't even know if that's on yet until August. So I would just be careful with that and see how it kind of rolls out then. But if you're really trying to go full-time, maybe that's enough of a justification to try it. But it really is a trade-off between, do you want to try and get that more ad revenue, or do you think that 3-minute automation is going to be too intrusive to disrupt your viewing experience? So I don't know. We'll have to test it when it comes out.
We've had a comment here from Enzo, who says, that's a decent idea of planning your ads around the stream. You currently get a notification saying that your ads will start in 5 minutes. So you can have some downtime to plan for it. And that's true. If you're playing a game that allows you to pause or you know, make sure that you're not dealing with any high intense action at a certain time. But if you're playing, you know, Valorant or League of Legends or CSGO or Rocket League, and you're in the middle of a game and you get a 5 minute notification and you know your game's not going to be over in 5 minutes, then you know that's going to suck. That's almost even worse. You're like telling your viewers, I'm sorry about the ads that are going to come in our overtime of our really important match, but there's nothing
but I can
do.
Getting paid, so
I'm getting paid and not very much money, and you know you're getting ads for buying this game on Amazon probably.
I've seen some mixed opinions on it. Again, it's a big increase in the ad revenue, so I at least can get credit for that, but I have some concerns about how it will roll out, and also the fact that they did it a month in advance, unless you're a partner, so just be careful.
Yeah, well, there's our feedback to Twitch. Allow streamers to choose when the 3 minutes are, you know, as long as they're hitting 3 minutes per hour. That's not a very hard system to code. I'm sure that they have the ability to be able to do that. And you know, don't encourage affiliates to start doing it when they actually aren't going to be earning any extra money from it right now. That's probably the main bit of Twitch news. I think there was one more update that we wanted to cover. It was kind of funny because there were some big bugs with it. It was the ability to remove founder badges from the streamers that were founders for your channel. So for those of you that don't remember what founders badges are, I think affiliates get 10 founders badges and partners get 25. And these are basically the 10 or 25 people that first supported your stream, you know, first subbed to your stream, they get a special badge next to their name. But there was some people, you know, requesting that they wanted to remove certain people from that, you know, if they were toxic or they ended up being, I don't know, in some way people that you don't want to represent with your stream anymore. They were releasing a way of being able to actually remove that. I wonder if I actually had a screenshot. Let me see if I had one. No, I didn't actually have one saved of what it looks like. But effectively, it was just like a list of all the users and an X next to their name if you wanted to remove them. And obviously, that would allow you to have the next person assigned so that you always had a rolling number of 10 or 25. Big bug, which went out, which basically, I think, sent emails to the next streamer highest on the list or something like that, Ben, basically saying that they qualified to be removed as a founder. I don't know how something like that happens, but you know, if something like that can happen, Twitch is probably the ones that have built it in some fashion. So a pretty funny bug. You know, imagine being a longtime supporter of who still streams on Twitch, one of XQC's first 25 subs ever, and you get an email saying that you now qualified to be removed from his founder's badge list. Just such a strange...
I think what happened was basically you could remove somebody. So let's say you had somebody who was in your channel. They initially, when you got affiliate, they got a founder badge because they were one of the first people who are in the channel. But like in my case, I think one person who still has the founder badge who's active, and the other four I haven't seen in 2 years. So I would be someone who would remove those people and try and use those badges, people who are here more actively. But what happened was it was sending, when you remove somebody, it'll try and make the next longest sub person or second, like when you start getting subs, that's when it'll start assigning these, send them a notification. But then if you want to give it to somebody else manually, then it removes that notification and removes the badge. So basically it was sending like false emails to people saying you're a founder. And then they come in and like, where's my badge? I thought I was a founder.
I see.
So yeah, it was not a great experience for people. I didn't see it actually happen to anyone I knew, but you imagine if you're a streamer sending out all these notifications via automation and no one's getting the badges they were promised. It's probably not a very good experience for viewers.
I misread it, and I thought that it literally notified the next person that could be removed, like the next top of the list. So it was almost like you're the next person that could be axed from the founders. But no, it was actually notifying the next person that qualified to be a founder. So like your 11th ever subscriber on your channel would be the first person notified. Yep. Gotcha. Well, you know, that's Twitch for you. I think it's a pretty good feature. They just got to work out the kinks for people like you, you know, that want to remove some people and add others. Interesting that you can choose who you add, though, as a founder. Is there any limit to that? As in, could you add somebody that just subscribed for the first time last week?
I don't know, because they rolled it out and immediately pulled it back because of the bug. So I didn't even get to test it before it got pulled back. So I don't know. We'll see. They said they were going to have it fixed in a few weeks. So I don't know when that'll be. But yeah, apparently it was kind of a big thing to fix. We'll see.
Well, that probably does it for news. We've been going for almost an hour, which isn't surprising considering we haven't podcasted for the last few weeks. But we're back again with our weekly cadence. I will just do a quick plug for my own YouTube channel because I've released a new video since the last time we did a podcast. We can see a really low quality screenshot here, which YouTube has done for us nicely. If I mute it, I can start playing. Essentially, I did a video how long ago was it? Maybe 3 or 4 months ago, about tools for Twitch streamers, and it did really, really well. And sort of thought the idea of doing the same, but for YouTube creators. So obviously I'm a YouTuber more than I am a streamer. So the actual tools that I use day by day for creating YouTube videos, I thought would be a useful list, and the video's done really well, and I've had loads of good feedback from it. So if you are a creator on YouTube and interested in learning about the tools that I use to script and film and edit and publish and promote YouTube videos, then I would highly recommend checking out that video. I didn't mention though, but they're all free, just like the Twitch ones, where there are 7 free tools. It actually ends up being like 9 or 10 free tools, but 7 works much better for the clickbait. Ben, any videos on the pipeline for you that you can promote, or released any whilst I've been away at all of these weddings?
I've been streaming, but I haven't made as many videos yet. I've got maybe some ideas I'm cooking up, but I'll definitely update on the next podcast if you've got something to share.
So, yeah, let's keep pushing
video,
Ben.
By the way, yeah,
keep pushing still, Ben to you know, make more content. You know, if you want to keep getting tagged in these live streams, Ben, you need to make sure that your YouTube channel is up to date. No, I'm joking. I know what it's like to try and create content full time while still maintaining a full time job, and then me pulling you on here to do the podcast every single week as well. But it's been good. It's been good to chat to you again, Ben. It's been good to see so many different people in the audience getting involved as per usual and helping us by looking for features that Ben and I can't access yet for whatever reason. Our accounts are getting restricted. Twitch is finding too many leaks through this YouTube podcast, and now they're restricting our accounts. No, that's a joke. But yeah, really appreciate everybody coming in and all the people that are listening on the audio formats, because I know a lot of people can't watch the show live and end up catching the VOD later or listening through Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you're watching the live stream now, I'd really appreciate giving it a thumbs up. That helps other people that watch this show get it in their suggested feeds. And if you're listening, Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any of the other platforms where you can leave us a review or a rating or a thumbs up, any of those things, really do appreciate it. It helps this show get out to more people. And we'll see you next week with probably way fewer updates, but maybe we can go a lot more in detail with them. So hopefully Twitch keeps releasing stuff, keeps releasing good stuff, and maybe minimizes the caveats that we've uncovered in this pod. Anything to add, Ben?
Yeah, again, if you're on an audio platform and you can do a review or a rating, I'd love to hear from you. Or if you can't make the show for any reason, you can also leave us a message on Twitter, stuff like that, and we'll get back to you for the pod there. I appreciate everybody who listens and watches. Love doing this. So excited to be back with season 2, Pete. I think that's what we're calling it now after that break.
We'll probably have to, since we missed so many weeks. But yeah, really appreciate everybody watching, and we'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace.